All right, we're back on the public record. This. And we're going to go quickly through the approval of previous meetings minutes. Laura sent them out the last couple of days, so hopefully you've had a chance to look at them. Laura, let me know when you're ready.
Go whatever you need to.
Does anybody have any, so we have two sets of minutes. We have one for April 17th, 2019. Let's go to that one first. Does anybody have any comments, any changes, any amendments to these minutes? I didn't have any. Any from down on this end?
No.
No? George? Mike?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Is there a motion to approve the minutes for April 17th, 2019?
I so move.
Is there a second?
I second.
All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. Passes unanimously. Let's go to the next set of minutes. I made some notes on this one. I did have some changes. So these are minutes from a meeting that was held on April 29th, 2019. And I have one change. The call to order was at 6:20 p.m. And then also, in the motion to adjourn, Laura, George wasn't there. So it might have been
might
have been Mike Kirafitis.
Thank you.
And that was it?
No, I'll probably just say one opposed, except I suppose the one against maybe.
Okay. One, say one opposed instead of one against, yeah.
Okay.
And then also, I just noticed this, very ticky-tack, all in number three, should say all in favor, not
you.
All in favor.
I
think we all did. Okay. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the April 29th, 2019 meeting as amended?
I'll get that motion.
George, is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. Excellent. All right, Tammy, we already did the acknowledgement of the student staff achievements before the executive session so that people could leave. Now we'll move on to the public comments. And before we move into the public comments, I would like to take an opportunity just to say a few words about, you know, give people an update on where things stand. So we sent out the email blast to everybody late on about 9 o'clock Monday night about saying that the DOE had unofficially indicated to us that we were going to be on formal review. So, and that the Department of Education was going to give us a more detailed explanation of what that means by the close of business today. I haven't gotten that yet. So I don't really have anything else to share right now, aside from what we indicated Monday night. I don't want to speculate on what the DOE is going to say or anything like that. And I don't want to put anything in a public record that I don't really have context for or an opportunity to look at and digest and be able to discuss it intelligently for all of you. But we do know some things about formal review, and it takes about 60 working days, whatever that means, 2 to 3 months. And it's kind of like we said in our communications, kind of like an audit. So they'll come in and take a look at some things that they have concerns about and talk to us about. It's a process. Those include academic performance, financial viability, and organizational framework. So not all of those things will be a subject of the formal review. Some of them, one of them. But at this point, we haven't gotten clear definition from the Department of Education about what that is. But as soon as we do, we're going to schedule a town hall meeting so that everybody can come and ask questions, and we'll answer them as best as we can. It'll probably be Denise, Ricardo, and I, and maybe some other members of the board. We just don't want to make a quorum. And also, Denise and I were talking today in the near future to have a faculty and staff type informal conversation about it too, to the extent that we can. So Denise and I will work on that. Hopefully, both of those things will happen before Memorial Day. Hopefully. But I just want to make it clear that even though this formal review is a part of our lives now, it does not mean closure. I don't think all the members of the board are here in the best interest of the school and for the education of the 1,800 students that we have here. We're here for the staff and faculty out there that are making every single one of their educations a grade A education. And we don't want to do anything to disturb that. So as soon as we get information, we will disseminate it in the most effective way possible and in the most transparent way possible, and include the important people, especially the people that are here in this room tonight, who care about this school enough to come out at 7 o'clock on a beautiful Wednesday night. I want to make as many of you feel comfortable about this as possible. So with that, I just want to give a brief update in case anybody on the public comment was going to discuss it. Not much of an update, but it is what it is. So we'll go to the public comments. I have two people. I have, as past practice has gone, 15 minutes are reserved for public comment. You have a maximum, each speaker has a maximum of 3 minutes, and I'll give you time cues, minute, 30 seconds, and you can't cede that time to anybody else. So the 3 minutes is the 3 minutes. So, Mary Ann?
Tell me when to start.
Tammy, can you hold this down there, please? Okay. Thank you. Okay. So that we get Mary Ann. Go ahead, Mary Ann.
All right, so I wanted to address some of the fears that I've been reading both on social media and just in general conversations. I wanted to remind us that in the face of uncertainty, choose courage always over fear. Fear will cripple us, but courage will free us to help us and help us to grow by finding creative approaches to conflict resolution. My name is Mary Ann Yerim, and I'm a staff and student development specialist here at Odyssey, and I'm also a parent. And I'm also involved with the student council for grades 4 to 6. I want to just give you an insight into the kind of children that we have here. So as one of their activities this year, our student council kids wanted to organize a bingo night. It was scheduled to be on May 3rd, but by April 30th, they had only sold about 8 tickets. I and other staff advisors were ready to cancel the bingo night. But the students, they weren't ready to give up. They didn't want bingo night canceled. They organized to talk to the classes. They figured out the timings they could visit classes, talk to the students, by Thursday afternoon, they had sold almost 40 tickets, more than enough for us to have a bingo night. That's the spirit of our children here at Odyssey. They don't give up, they don't give in. They were able to identify what was wrong, rectify the situation, and go with the fierce energy after what they wanted. They saw potential when we as adults and advisors did not, eating humble pie. On the night that we hosted bingo, other staff showed up to help out. Parents not only showed up, but they went to the store to get us more Fruit Loops because we ran out of bingo chips. A parent donated pizza. That's the spirit of our community here at Odyssey. We always come together. And this is not an isolated event. I see this all the time. I see it when staff, students, and parents show up on a Saturday morning to build our vegetable garden. I see it when we do our 5K runs every year. I see it when parents work overtime to ensure that the staff has a good staff appreciation week. I see it when teachers stay late grading our children's papers. I see it because we are a community that cares for each other. And I know that there are many of us who have questions and are anxious about the recent interaction with the DOE being under a review process. But please keep in mind that this too is a process, not a judgment and not a finality.
20 seconds, Mary.
None of us here are fortune tellers and we can't foresee the future. My hope is that we come together, just as we have done so many, many other occasions, to support each other. We have a greater chance of survival if we stick together. In times of uncertainty, choose courage over fear. People will always fan the flames of fear. Don't give in. We're not a perfect organization. We are in the process of growth. We will identify things to improve upon. It's a process.
Thank you, Marianne.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Got that?
Katie Manley. Do you want to hold this? Give it to Tammy again.
Yeah, I love it.
Let me go.
Go ahead, Katie.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, kind of piggybacking off of what Joe said and Marianne said, yes, Odyssey is a team. We want to be unified, and that's one of the reasons I'm here tonight. The first reason is because I am the local OCSCA president, and we started negotiations for facilities, teachers, and paraprofessionals contracts, and I'm happy to report that everything is going very well, very smoothly, so thank you for that. And to go off of what Marianne said, I agree. I'm a teacher. I just came off the softball field about 2 hours ago.
Yeah, that's
it's softball coach. I have three daughters here. I'm all in. I'm invested. I want people to understand that. However, that's wonderful. But the real reality is that we're under the formal review. So now is the time where, again, we have the power to make the decisions that affect our future. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of families, of staff and students that are depending on us and you, the board, to make the right decisions for the future of the school. And we should, when we unionized, it was to unify our staff. It's not, oh, here's a Greek staff, here's an American staff. It's a staff. We're the Odyssey staff, and we want to unify our staff. So we need to think of the school as a whole, and we want the school to be successful as a reflection of Odyssey Charter School, not as a reflection of any other organization, but as a reflection of a school. And that is what we need to focus on going forward with the formal review, is that we will do whatever it takes to ensure the future success of the school. And that's just what I wanted to talk about and encourage the board to think about that as we go forward and you get more information, the hundreds and hundreds of people that are impacted by this, and just keep that in mind as you're making the tough decisions and doing the work that needs to be done. We really encourage you to take a long look at that and do whatever needs to be done. And that's it. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Katie. Didn't even get to my one time cue.
Oops.
Okay. Do you want this?
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Where's my agenda?
Monthly financial
report. Karen or Vanessa? Excellent.
Stop.
I know, I'm going to move too.
Thank you.
revenues. The final budgeted revenues are $28,999,078. Revenues collected to date are $28,797,628, or 99.31% of the budget. Revenues received during March included local funds $17,339, cafeteria $117,705, aftercare $25,888, school activities $32,770, rent and tenant billing, they've been doing some double billings, so some months they paid twice in the 1 month and sometimes they don't, so there was zero billings this time. Field trip payments $37,989, transportation $41,957, capital campaign $4,000, and federal grants $4,180. At this time of the year, most of the funding from federal grants and from local, from state grants has already been received. So that's why you see a lesser amount right now, because as we're winding down the school year, field trip payments are student activity receipts that are transferred to transportation to pay for the use of Odyssey buses and drivers. Expenditures. Final budgeted expenditures are $26,035,357, including the contingency. Expenses to date $21,218,632, and encumbences of $132,444 represent 82.09% of the budget. The year-end projected cash balance is $3,996,206. The beginning cash balance was $3,574,520. And the budget process for fiscal year 2020 is in progress. A draft will be presented for board review at the June board meeting. Just to touch on the projected cash balance, if you notice the beginning cash balance and the ending cash balance from last year was an increase. $200,000 of it was due to money in transition that was planned for but not spent, so it's put back in. And also we received about $47,000 from the state for teachers that changed education levels after the school year started. We get monies for each for teachers based on their education levels, but if they've received an advanced degree after the school year started, then at the end of the year we can recapture some of those funds. And let's see. And on the expense side, you'll see that substitute expenses were still are still a little bit higher than they were at the beginning of the year. We had a lot of staff out on maternity leave. As we progress towards those people coming back and more people going out, we'll be under the new Parental Leave Act, which started April 1st for anyone who had a child after April 1st. So we'll start to see some of our substitute funding not be as high because the state will pay for some of that going forward under the new plan that went into effect on April 1st. Does anybody have any questions about the expenses or revenue? That's the financial statement.
Is the substitute funds under the temporary employment services? Is that what that's under? That temporary employment services has a gain of 121% over the budget. Is that what substitutes are?
Yes, substitutes okay. Come under there. Are there any other questions on the financial statement?
And our legal services are at 98.9% at this moment. Do we know how many attorneys Odyssey is employing at this time?
How many attorneys? I do not.
One that was employed earlier in the year is no longer being used. It has to do with a land issue. And then you're currently using one who was here earlier,
Mary Conway. And also, we're also using Saul Ewing as well.
Yeah, thank you.
And the immigration.
And the immigration, right.
So there's
and that's on a limited basis.
Any other questions on the finances?
I do have a question. How much do we have in reserve right now? How much money do we have in reserve?
In reserve right now?
I've been here.
We don't have any particular reserve accounts set up. It's just the projected cash balance at the end of the year, which should be in the range of $4 million.
Yeah, I see it.
Any other questions on the finance?
That was just up there a few minutes ago. Anybody have any questions on the monthly financial statement? This does need to be posted to the website, correct?
Yes.
The monthly financial statement. Anybody have any specific questions about the monthly financial statement?
Do we have an accounting for how much we receive in donations or fundraising? Is that included as part of this?
Yeah, it's a capital campaign and donations other.
How much is
capital campaign is, I can't really read that either.
Is that 83,000?
No, that's the budget. That's the budget.
Just under 140,000.
Yeah, there it is. Right here. 140.
Okay.
Just under 140.
And that's this fiscal year, this school year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No.
No, hearing none. Is there a motion to approve the monthly financial statement for posting to the website?
Or whatever. I'll make the motion.
Tammy makes it. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Don't all second at once. All in favor to approve the monthly web report to be posted to the website? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Hearing none, it's approved unanimously. Thank you, Vanessa. And thank you again for putting the numbers up on the screen. I think that helps out a lot. Okay, head of school report.
Good evening, everyone. Your head of school report is in your packets up here in just a moment. I'll pass this out to the wonderful crowd we have. Good evening, everyone. So tonight we are going to start off a little bit differently than we have in the past. I have the upper/high school dean, Ashley Sorensen, here that's going to talk in just a moment about some high school updates, specifically our PSAT results, and also on course offerings that we will be providing to our students for the 19-20 school year. We are committed to offering a greater variety of programs to our high school students, and also a range of programs, both college prep, dual enrollment in AP courses, and a variety of subjects. So Ashley's going to talk in just a moment about that. And after Ashley's done, we have Dr. Marina Mathiodaki here, who's also going to give us some updates with regard to the Greek program. And then I'll round out with some of the things here at school. So without further ado, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Ashley.
Thank you, Denise. I was not here last month because I was actually in Greece with 37 of our students. So we just got back right before spring break and had 37 students. We went to Athens. They went on a boat cruise to three different Saronic Gulf islands. They went to Olympia, Nafplio, which is also where the Harvard program takes place. They went to Delphi and came back to Athens. And it was a very exciting trip. We will be continuing to do these trips every 2 years for our students. And so they'll have the Greece trip every 2 years and then an alternative trip to a different location on the off year, so that every student will have the opportunity to go both to Greece and then to another country if they so choose. And it was an exciting program that kind of allows us to get a whole lot of students to Greece at once. They all seem to very much enjoy it. I also get to talk a little bit about our PSAT scores at this point. At this point, we do not have SAT scores back yet. They have not been released back to the school in their entirety, so we only have PSAT to go off of. The paper that you have on the back does have kind of some basic charts on where we are at. Overall, OCS is doing very well with PSAT. You can see both in PSAT 9 and 8-9, which is what our ninth graders take, and then PSAT 10. We far are over the state average, and we are also over the national average in most areas as well. So for instance, at the state level, we're about 45 points above the state when it comes to PSAT 10, and when it comes to PSAT 8-9, we're closer to 100 points over the state average. So we're doing, our students are doing an incredible job. Our teachers are doing a phenomenal job of making sure that our students are able to do that. So our PSAT scores are going to continue to kind of hopefully on this trajectory as we do continue. We do two PSAT twice a year for our 9th graders and our 10th graders, and PSAT one more time in the fall for our 11th graders. And then in the spring, the 11th graders take the school day SAT. So our students all test on the same day, and we get that opportunity here at school. The state of Delaware does pay for our 11th graders to take the SAT, and then we've done some other options for our 9th and 10th graders and our 11th graders to take the PSAT, because that is not a state paid for one.
Hey, Ashley, I have a question for you real quick. So these numbers, you obviously got all the Odyssey numbers. How many kids took like the PSAT in 10th grade? Did all of them?
So all of our students take them.
Excellent.
Yes. So all of our students took the PSAT 9, 10, and then 11th grade SAT.
Okay. And then for how did you compile the state and the national numbers in this graph?
That all comes directly from College Board. They just send us the numbers themselves, and then we just transfer them into a smaller graph so that they would be just our numbers and not the whole, the College Board reporting system. The way it looks is not as neat as this.
So did you get like the numbers for all the schools in Delaware or just Odyssey? And they gave you like and they gave you like a just that number. Yeah, they just gave you aggregate. Thank you.
Of the state and the national, it'll say like national and then the approximate amount of students that took it nationally, state and how many took it statewide, and then Odyssey and how many took it.
Okay. Okay.
So am I reading this correctly that Delaware State compares to national? It's almost embarrassing.
Yes. It is the state. Well, one of those factors is that nationally, the SAT and PSAT are not necessarily required of all their students. So some states choose to only test the students that are planning to use the SAT or the PSAT to go to college, and they're planning to go on that track. So in other states, they might not test all of their students. They might test only the students that are in a particular track or are in a particular program in their school. So because they don't test everybody, and Delaware does test everybody, we get a little bit of different. So we get everybody who's in Delaware versus nationally, they might do it more.
So
pick and choose.
So with the PSAT math for 10, we're a little bit, I guess, below the national average.
Yeah, only a few points.
Okay.
But that's something that we've identified as an area of growth as
well. Okay, so we need to focus on that. Is it that the national is really high, or is it just that we need to improve?
So it's probably more so that, like, the average score for PSAT 10, the maximum score for the area, I believe, is just over 500. So it's not like we're very far off from that. So when you say like a SAT PSAT scores are not out of the same amount as the SAT scores are. So SAT is out of 800, but PSAT is not. It's scaled down based on the problems that are provided to the students. The scales do kind of line up overall. So if you have a certain score on the PSAT, you would expect to score the same on the SAT. However, the SAT has harder level questions that the SAT or the PSAT does not.
And so when I was in school, I remember the ACT. Is that still around?
It is. It's not the state test for Delaware, so not every student in Delaware takes it, but it is an option, and some of our students have taken it.
Okay.
SAT is an course in 11th grade. That's the recognized.
Yeah.
So instead of taking Smarter Balance,
SAT
tends to be more missed. ACT, like for me, that's what I thought. Midwestern thing.
Right.
I took the ACT. I went to school in Wisconsin. and so I also get to talk
hold that,
a little
we won't
bit.
Hold that
are there any other questions?
When you have PSAT 8-9, is that grade level? Is that what you're
It's only 9th graders that we have taking it, but it is a test that is technically available to 8th and 9th grade, and it's supposed to be scaled more for their academic ability.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And you don't have any 11th grade information?
We don't have the SAT aggregate information yet. Some of the students have reported that they've been able to access their scores themselves, but we have not gotten the aggregate
In June, we might have that.
The state of Delaware holds it a little bit longer because it's a school day SAT. I don't know what their reasoning is, but it takes a little bit longer for us to get the SAT.
I guess just one question. So this gives us the aggregate average. Do we also have range, like, from a low of 600 on the SAT to a high of 1300. I mean, I don't know. Do we know what that range is?
We do. I don't have that information in front of me, but I can provide that.
Okay, it'd be good to kind of see where that kind of spectrum breaks down to. Yeah.
I know you don't have numbers for 10th grade from last year.
Yes.
But do you have longitudinal numbers?
We do, yes.
So
I can.
That would be nice to kind of see how the trends are we are over time.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that we, even from the first, from the current 11th graders, they were trending up from year to year, but we can't see. Yeah, it's, I don't have it directly in front of me.
We are, if we're doing that.
All right. And then we are also going to be adding a number of new courses. I worked pretty with our department chairs and student counselors to create our new course offerings for school year 19-20. So we will be adding a number of courses. I don't know if everyone has the list in front of them. Okay, so I'm not going to read through them all. But some highlights are additional dual enrollment courses, such as anatomy and physiology. And we are also adding dual enrollment psychology. We are also adding AP Calculus BC, AP Literature and Composition, and seeing if we in AP Environmental Science and AP Comparative Government and Politics. As you can see, there's a long list of courses on here. We don't have that many students, so it's a process also of seeing what students are interested in, what students want to take. So this is more of a course catalog of things that we are. Our teachers are all capable of teaching these courses, which is the incredible part and amazing part. So we are just looking at what students then want based on that information, and then we can design the final master schedule based on that.
That's great.
I'm looking at this, and I think it's wonderful offering all these options for our students because it gives them a nice, well-rounded education.
Mm-hmm.
Is this exhaustive? Is there a chance, do we have room to add if we need some suggestions?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a course in philosophy? And logic. Now, logic would be a wonderful course to have for seniors as they get critical thinking and as they move on to higher education. Philosophy will give them a nice, well-rounded view of life and be able to discuss two sides of different points.
As a parent of an eighth grader and seeing the course selection that came home, some of these are different. I'm just curious about the grade levels. When they would begin these type of courses. And I did look through the catalog. I liked the new catalog that I saw. I liked the format that you had. I thought that it was an improvement over the previous one to help understand kind of the progression and the availability of courses. So thank you for that work that you and I'm sure your team did. So I was just to ask, like, some of these things, because they look fabulous, when do they start?
So these are courses that we are intending to offer for next school year. Many of them will be, most of these are primarily for 11th and 12th grade students.
Okay.
So there will, depending on kind of students' choices and what they choose in their first couple of years, will help design where they will continue to go into their next classes. So students might take a principal of biomedical sciences class in their 10th grade year and then go to Tammy's medical terminology class in 11th grade and anatomy and physiology in 12th grade. So that would be kind of a typical progression of courses that we would see from students that all are those very high rigorous courses.
And are you seeing connections then? Are you deliberately, I'm sure you are. Are you deliberately making connections then to, for instance, pathways and things like that to be able to create new pathways
Absolutely.
Or to strengthen current pathways? Then?
Absolutely. And so we also added a pathway based on the elective courses that we had for visual arts. We were able to just easily create that pathway based on the courses we already had. And so when we see courses that do kind of align with either established CTE pathways or pathways that we can create for our school, we will continue to add those.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll turn it over to Dr.
Excellent. Yeah. Ashley, thank you.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay.
So on the 26th of April, we welcomed the 20 Greek students from Pierce College in Athens. And students were actually hosted by OCS families. They opened their homes, and I have to say that they did everything they could. They went beyond their schedules to accommodate the Greek student schedules. And personally, I would like to wholeheartedly thank the families and the school. Denise Parks and Ricardo Stoikic and Ashley Sarnson welcomed all the students the first day they came here. And of course, all the teachers who opened their classrooms, and they welcomed them anytime they wanted to go in. So both the principal of Pierce College, Mr. Eric Trillo, and the two teachers who joined the students here sent us emails to thank the school and the OCS families. As far as the kangaroo result, was a math competition that took place on April 3rd. We had 94 students from OCS competing. This is a math and logic competition in Greek, in the Greek language, so everything was written in Greek. And actually the preliminary results came out and they showed very high scores. And actually the first students are not even Greeks, they're Americans. So we have 27 students who will be awarded with prizes this June. Official results are expected over the summer. So I would have to thank Mr. Vasilis Gidoglou, the math teacher, the Greek math teacher who organized this and who was in charge of writing math problems and sending them to the OCS families and the students to practice throughout the year. And that was a huge task for him. So, Center for Hellenic Studies, Harvard University, the school has selected the OCS teacher who is going to travel to NAPU this year to the Center for Hellenic Studies. And this is Tessa Lenev, drama teacher. Today, Tessa had her first Skype meeting with the Center for Hellenic Studies. And we were told that the student's name will be announced on Monday, so we're not announcing it yet because it is not official yet. The Elenomathia exams will take place on May 21st and 22nd this week, this coming week. The school is again an examination center for the exams. This year, the number of candidates has exceeded the numbers of previous years. We have 77 candidates in total.
77?
77. 22 of them are OCS students. That's all.
27.
Excellent.
77 and 22.
22. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria. Great. That was nice, right, to hear from
somebody else.
Or teams, yeah, from someone else. Thanks.
Just kidding.
Not that you don't like this.
So a few more bits of news. You know, it's the end of the school year. There's so much great things happening at school. Unfortunately, the Odyssey Charter School Teacher of the Year, she's in hot demand, and she was double booked tonight, so she can't be here, but we'll bring Tina Iliadis, our kindergarten immersion teacher. She'll be with us, I think, next month. So congratulations to Tina. We have a finalist for the State Driver's Ed Teacher of the Year, B.J. Sturdivant. I haven't heard any news if they have selected the final winner, but B.J. is our driver's ed program, our teacher, and so he's up as a finalist. I believe that Matt Sturdivant is in the house. Matt, this is a pretty big deal. Matt was given an honorable mention for a national award, the Presidential Innovation Award for Environmental Educators, and he received honorable mention, so congratulations to Matt. Another big deal, and I personally want to thank Board Member Elias Regas for bringing this opportunity to our school. Elias is a member of the Harvard Club of Delaware, an alum, and this is the local chapter, right, of the Harvard Club.
It's a chapter, yeah.
A chapter. And the Harvard Club of Delaware offers scholarships to the Harvard Graduate School of Education Summer Program. And HSGE provides outstanding summer opportunities for educators. And we have two teams of four
staff members going this summer, thanks to the scholarship provided by Harvard College of Delaware. And so they're going to go out. Both teams are working on something a little bit different. Their names are in my notes here. And the great thing is these educators are going to come back and bring their experiences back to our school and enrich what we're doing here. So we're so excited about that. We are, okay, so moving on. Our students have done such an amazing job with the Odyssey Charter School Green Team in promoting House Bill 130. And in fact, just yesterday it passed in the House. And this is around the ban of the single-use carry-out plastic bags. Of course, everyone knows what I'm talking about. It passed overwhelmingly in the House yesterday, so now it goes to the Senate. And we will have high school students going down to Dover on June 5th to testify in front of the Senate in support of House Bill 130.
Excellent.
So we are so excited about that. It's a really big deal, and what a great experience for our students to really see the civic process in action. We also received a $750 prize from the Philadelphia Zoo's Unless contest, and of those monies, this is around environmental awareness. And I believe I see two teachers in the back who have had a hand in some of the monies that we won of the 750. We created a pollinator garden, and Juliana Sheehan and Jackie Cawley, they with their students today, they put together the pollinator garden. So it was really amazing. We have our art show coming up on the 23rd. The second annual carnival is on Saturday, June 1st. I encourage everyone to come out. Field days are coming up on June 3rd and 4th. Eighth grade moving up ceremony on the 10th. Formals are happening, high school and eighth grade, and there's just a bevy of end of year celebrations. Just come on over any day and there'll be ice cream and bounce houses, take your pick. It's a fun time of year for sure. And believe it or not, the last student days quickly coming upon us on June 11th. That is a half day, by the way. And our last student day, I'm sorry, last staff day is that Friday the 14th. And on the evening of the 13th, we're going to have a little bit of a staff celebration. It'll be our third annual one, actually. It's a nice time. Summer camp will be taking place throughout here at Odyssey throughout the summer from June 24th through August 16th. And we will also continue with our summer academic assistance and extended school year programs. So it's a fun time. Okay, do you have any questions for anyone? Okay, I want to again thank Ashley Sorensen and Dr. Marina for sharing all the good things that are going on here. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Denise. Ricardo is not here, so we'll skip the campus operations officer report, but if you have any questions, feel free to contact Ricardo. He'll be back. When is he coming back, Denise?
Monday.
Paul Brooks, the head of the Citizens Budget Oversight Committee, could not be here tonight either, so we'll skip that, and we'll go to Tammy's faculty report.
Awesome. We are in the throes of testing season. If you don't know what testing season is, that means our students have a week of 3+ hours of testing each and every day. So congrats to the teachers who manage the testing season and our students who perform so well. Ronnie Gates, a fifth grade teacher here at Odyssey, wanted me to note that the state senators and legislators who helped, well, her class helped the state senators and legislators to support House Bill 130, which is the ban on plastic bags, which Denise mentioned. The bill passed the House of Rep and headed to the Senate, and a lot of our Odyssey students, as well as teachers, had a part of that. So congrats to them. A number of our teachers are right now getting their higher level degrees, either it's master's, doctorate, so congratulations to those. I know Jackie Cawley did. Congrats, Jackie. Any other teachers who are here get their higher level degrees? That's awesome. Jackie, have a sand. I did send out an email from two teachers asking them what they wanted me to tell you. A number of teachers just said board, please, the teachers would love details in reference to the formal review. Our fifth grade ACE program, they knitted and put together 24 blankets to donate to the My Duffel program, which is for Delaware kids who are entering foster programs, which is a fabulous thing. And Julianne Sheehan, who was also here, spent today out in the thrones of our courtyard with pollinator gardens and weeds and students. So again, the amazing work of our faculty, and I'm so proud of you guys.
Thank you, Tammy. Thank you very much. Laura with the PTO report.
I apologize. I was not able to make the PTO meeting this month, but I do know that new executives had been elected to positions on the board, and they are moving forward with being able to put together the new leadership and be able to move forward.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Any new business? Nobody had any. Anything from the board for the good of the school?
I did want to say one thing. We had talked a couple of meetings ago about being able to have nominating committees for the board. And I was going to be able to kind of chair that effort. Just with things that are going on, I just wanted to be able to say that it has been kind of put on hold. So I just wanted you to know that you haven't seen information about it because it's been put on hold. So I just want to make sure that we put that out there. We'll move forward as soon as we can, but I just wanted to make sure that...
We're going to work with the Department of Education to make sure that that's a process that we're comfortable with and that they're comfortable with, and we'll get the process moving as soon as we can.
I will.
Anything else? Hearing nothing. We're going to go into another brief executive session for the discussion as indicated in the agenda. Is there a motion to go into a, I'll use the word brief, but who knows, a brief executive session?
I'll give that motion.
George, is there a second?
I'll second.
Mike Clazaris, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Thank you, everybody.
It is kosher. You can vote any way you want.